I feel privileged to be here this evening in the presence of my fellow comrades to the faith. I want to talk this evening about gods. We read in the Bible, it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's one of the Ten Commandments. And we're all fairly familiar with that. Most of the time when people think of having a lot of the gods that are referred to in the Bible, they think of some wooden or silver or gold shrine. But I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about things that are could very likely be a part of lives in this room. Do we have anything, any gods that are before the Lord Jesus? Turn to Deuteronomy 8:19. It says, "And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish." And again in Deuteronomy 13:1-3, it says, "If there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder come to pass, wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord that your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." There's many false prophets out there these days that even claim the name of the Lord Jesus. But they're promoting another God, another gospel.
Right.
There's many churches that are worshiping other gods. Mm-hmm. They might use the King James, they might claim to have a dream or a vision, or they might do a lot of the right talk or the wrong talk. That's not what changes whether they're serving the right God. The Bible is very clear. It says, "Try the spirits." There's people out there that are just hanging on to an ism or an idea. And they're actually worshiping that idea and that ism because that's the most important thing to them. They claim the name of Jesus. But if you can prove Jesus is against whatever they're holding on to, it's really irrelevant. There's also more of a tendency in this group of gods such as money, clothes, trucks, families, friends, relatives, activities. There's a lot of things that if they're not in their proper place, they can be good things, but if they are not kept in their proper place, they are before, it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." If they're not kept in rank with God in the ultimate perspective, then they are gods before Him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's very easy for people to deceive themselves with, well, I'm not, money, for example. We have to live, we have to make money, we have to survive. But how much time do you put to that? The Lord's watching, and He sees how much time and how much effort you invest in His kingdom. And He sees how much time and how much you bank on material things. And He's taking notes.
Right.
And He's the only one that it really matters that you please.
Right.
I think of many people who have come to this church, and because of things getting tight, say finances, family members ridiculing, friends back, old friends that should have been cut off a long time ago, except for being reaching out to them. They stayed in too high of a place in their heart, and they eventually drove them away. That God was put before the Lord Jesus. In 2 Kings 16:3, it says, "But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." Many people these days think it would be terrible to sacrifice your children to God. And rightfully so. Yet how many parents are sacrificing their children to their gods?
Yeah.
To their ism, to this is just the way we do things, to their sports, to their career. The parents are out having a career, getting a career, and the children are off in daycare or public school and being sacrificed to the idols of the world.
Yeah, amen.
Parents to keep their children in a worldly church because they're afraid what their friends may say, or maybe this is the church they've been their parents were in, and this is no family church. Keep your children in that worldly church and watch them all go to hell. That's sacrificing your children to a God. Having it their own way, or their pride in the way. They're determined that their ideas are more important than what the Bible says, than what the church says. They're determined that their comfort or pleasures are more important, and so their pride and their self-esteem gets in the way, and their children are pulled away from a Christian church. Why? Because their parents were too self-willed. And those parents are going to be very, very accountable on Judgment Day, because those children, I think of a lot of families that have come and went, and their children had a great opportunity here.
Yeah.
Their children were loving it. Their children were growing. Their children were being baptized, and you could see the fire, the Holy Spirit working in them. And some parent waxed lukewarm and led them away and did all they could to put that fire out. If you're a parent in this room and you've been bucking the church, or you've been letting your own ideas rule, take heed. Because if you lead your children down a path that is contrary to what the Bible says and teaches, you're going to be very accountable, and you're going to have bloody hands on Judgment Day. And it's not worth your eternity just for the little present comforts it adds in this life. You know, listening to Titus, are we making use of our opportunity? You know, this last year, maybe you weren't fruitful. Maybe the Lord of the vineyard, Jesus, said, let's give him one more year. Let's dig about it and dung it. Let's give him another chance. This next year might be your other chance.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are we going to make full opportunity of this next year? Are we going to prove to God that His ways are the most important in our life? If we don't prove that to God, it doesn't matter who we prove it to.
Right.
It doesn't matter if we have everybody in this room convinced that we're on fire for God. If we don't prove it to Him, we're going to be cast out. We're going to be rooted up. It's very, very important that we get our perspective straight. The Bible says, if you judge ourselves, we will not be judged. There's a lot of ways, there's a lot we can go on into that, but if you know of something in your life, and you know that it's not right with what the Bible teaches, it's not in line with God's Word, it's not in line with the church, you've been backbiting, you've been talking down the church for your own agendas, there's two options there. To judge yourself or to be judged.
Right.
There's no option of just weaseling out of judgment. You can't just not show up on that court.
Right.
You will be judged, and believe me, if you judge yourself, it's going to be a whole lot better off for you than if you are judged.
Amen.
It'll be too late to turn around. Any parent knows that Jesus, any parent with a child, if their child comes and confesses, hey, I stole a cookie or, you know, whatever, the punishment's going to be different than if you had to catch that child stealing that cookie, or that child lied about it first, or that child tried to deceive everybody around him that he didn't do it, and they found out he did. That's going to be much different.
Right.
So many people have left godly churches to preserve their own ideas contrary to God's Word. It's a crying shame. I appreciate what I've heard this evening from my fellow brothers, and I'm looking forward to hearing what everybody else has to share. But this next year, let us elevate above everything God's Word. And if this church strives to uphold God's Word and to live by it in its purity, may we fall on the line and back that. And not just panic, as Philip was saying. There's many people, if you think back over all the people that we've interacted with,